The Life of Mary Southern, the human dramatic story of a woman who, in a restless, changing world, seeks peace, contentment, and security for herself and for her children. And now, the life of Mary Southern. It is unfortunate that we do not always know how our actions and our words will be interpreted by others. For could we be sure, many disappointments and tragedies, misunderstandings and heartbreak could be avoided. When Mary, asked by Father Brady to take Fran Garfield the money to pay for her illness, when Mary was questioned by the girl regarding Dr. John Benson, she said,
"He's a fine physician and a kind, generous man. Completely unselfish with his time and, well, with other things, too. He doesn't want thanks for the things he does. There isn't a finer man in this world than Dr. John Benson."
But Mary did not know that after her departure, Fran would put this interpretation on her words.
"Dr. Benson said it would be okay. It was. He knew, but he wouldn't tell me. I guess he just don't like people to thank him. That's why he went to Father Brady. Sure, that's why he didn't want me to know he was giving us some money. Oh, gee, what a wonderful thing to do. Just plunk out all that money for us and not want no thanks for doing it. Miss Southern was right. He just ain't a finer man in the world than Doc Benson. I wonder when he's coming back to see me."
It is late afternoon as we take you to the flat near the waterfront where Fran and Tommy Garfield live. Miss Watkins, the nurse, has been reading to Fran, and now as we enter the tiny bedroom, she closes the book and says,
"How'd you like it, Fran?"
Oh, the story.
Yes. Well,
it was kind of high toned, wasn't it?
Well.
Now, I couldn't understand all of it. You know, I got kind of dreamy while you were finishing it.
Oh, why didn't you tell me, dear? I could have read you something else.
Well, I didn't mind. I liked the sound of your voice. Besides, I was having such a good time, I didn't want you to stop. You know, it's kind of fun, just drifting off and dreaming.
About what, Fran?
Oh, not nothing much. But about everything at the same time. You know what I mean?
Well, not exactly.
Yeah. I ain't very clear, am I? Well, I mean, you get thinking about some of the things you've done, the things you've said and everything, and you kind of wish you had it to do all over again, see?
Yeah.
And then you get thinking, well, maybe later you'll have a chance to make up for some of the wrong things you've done. Maybe you'll get a chance to show people that you're really okay. Maybe you're going to do things a little different from now on. Sort of like New Year's Eve, see?
I do see you, Fran.
Well, I mean, with me, it's going to be different from New Year's Eve. I mean it. Say, look, Miss Watkins, how about it if I get up for a minute, huh?
Oh, I wouldn't, Fran, not yet.
Oh, raspberries, I feel like I want to walk around.
Well, but why?
Because I do, that's why. I feel like some exercise. Now, look here, the doc said I could begin walking around after a while. Well, it's been a while since he was here. It's about time for me to start getting up, ain't it?
Well, but he said 2 weeks, Fran.
Oh, but he said as soon as I felt like it, I could...
All right. I don't suppose a little walk around the room will hurt anything.
Sure it won't. Exercise will make me feel better. Oh, come on. Come on, give me a lift.
That's the ticket. Here, now. Now,
whoops. I'm all right.
Easy now. Oh, that's the girl. How does it feel?
Oh, it feels fine. Oh, don't hold on to me, Miss Watkins. Please, I want to take a look in the mirror. Say, I don't look so bad, huh?
Oh, you look fine, Fran. You may not know it, but you're a very pretty girl.
Yeah, I know it. And this snitzy nightgown Miss Southern gave me didn't do no harm, either. Oh, but I gotta do something about my hair, Miss Watkins. You know, I got an idea. Maybe I can fix her up like Miss Southern does hers, you know.
Well, you better get back in bed, friend.
Oh, let me wait. Maybe that's Miss Southern now. I want to see me standing up.
All right, dear, but you mustn't stay up very long.
Yeah, I won't.
Oh, hello.
Why, hello.
I want to see Fran. I'm Steve Conrad. It's all right if I come in, ain't it? She knows me. I told Tommy I was coming.
Why, yes, Mr. Conrad. Just a minute. I'll tell Fran you're here. Fran?
Yeah, I heard who it was, and I don't want to see him. Tell him I'm sleeping or something.
Hello, Fran.
Oh. Hi.
Hey, that's...
Help me get back in bed, will you, Miss Watkins?
Mr. Conrad, won't you wake me up?
Well, let him stay now, he's here. Come on, just give me a hand.
Let me help you.
You get away from me. There. Thanks, Miss Watkins.
Are you sure you want Mr. Conrad to stay, Fran?
Sure, she wants me to stay.
Do you, dear?
Yeah, I might as well. You wait in the other room, Miss Watkins. We won't take much time.
No, I won't let you talk over 10 minutes. That's as much time as you should spend with anyone.
Okay, Miss Watkins. Well, Steve, what do you want?
Tommy told me you were sick, baby.
And don't start off by calling me baby, either.
All right. You're getting kind of touchy in your old age.
So I'm getting touchy. What do you want?
I started telling you. Tommy told me you were sick. I didn't know about it before, so I thought I'd come over and see how you was getting along. Anything wrong in that?
Okay. Now, you've been here, and you've seen how I was getting along, and you can go home. I'm getting along fine.
Oh, that's a hot one. You ordering me around.
Go on, beat it. You want me to call for Miss Watkins?
Now, wait, Fran. There's no reason for you to get up on your tin ears. I ain't said one word you could get sore at. You being sick in bed, I should think you'd be glad to have someone come in and talk to you.
There's some people I wouldn't want to see, even if I was on a desert island.
I don't know why you should be so sore at me, Fran. You had an argument, sure, but anybody can have arguments. Most people usually forget them.
Well, maybe I ain't like most people.
Maybe not. I always thought you was a little different anyway. I always thought you was swell. And that's why I could have broke your neck the way you was talking a while back, talking about going around to that Rose person, about giving up your job at the factory. That's why I got sore. Anybody would have.
Well, I was off my nut talking that way, Steve.
And that's what I figured. I guess maybe it was because you were kind of sick then and didn't know it. It was just before you passed out at the factory.
Yeah, maybe that was why.
I'm glad that's all it was, Fran. I'm glad you're feeling different now. Now, you're sure looking swell. I guess you'll be getting out pretty soon, huh?
No, not for a long time yet.
Yeah? But you was walking around just now.
Well, it's the first time I've been walking.
You sure don't look as though you've been sick. You don't act it, either. Why was you so sore at me just now, Fran?
Oh, I don't know.
You didn't mean it, did you?
Well...
You didn't mean what you said about that desert island stuff, did you?
Will you stop asking me all these questions, for Pete's sake? What's eating you, anyway?
Oh, what's eating you is more like it.
Asking me this, asking me that, asking me another thing, I
was just trying to make up with you.
I know what you was getting at. Why was I sore at you? How soon will I be going out again? Gee, you're dumb. What you really want to know is when am I going out with you again, ain't it?
Sure.
Well, then why didn't you say so instead of beating around the bush?
My gosh, you'd think I was asking you for the crown jewel.
Let me tell you this, Steve Conrad. When I get back on my feet again, if it's next week or next month or next year even, me and you ain't going out together again, see? We're quits.
Oh, don't you.
We're all washed up, and that's all there is to it.
Baby, you sure change your tune faster than any 13 women I ever saw.
Well, who's got a better right, I'd like to know.
Nobody. But why the brush off?
I got my reason.
It seems to me after all this time, I got a right to know why. It don't make sense. One day you tell me you quit at the factory and all that sort of stuff. I argue. Okay, then you come around and agree with me. And then it's the brush off. I don't get it. And what's more, I don't like it either.
Look, Steve, lots of stuff don't make sense. I'm sorry, but I can't help it.
Well, there must be some reason. After all the palling around you and I done, for you to just up and say it's all up, I won't take it, friend.
You gotta take it.
But why? Is there some other guy? Who's been giving you all this stuff? The books, the fruit, that radio over there.
Well, hey. Father Brady got someone to give us all them things.
Oh, but is there someone else, Fran?
I tell you that...
Mr. Conrad.
Yeah?
I'm sorry, but you can't stay any longer.
Okay, I'm leaving.
Goodbye, Steve.
I'm not saying goodbye. I'm not going to take it, Fran. You can't brush me off like we never meant nothing to each other. You ought to know me well enough for that. I'm going now, but take it from me, I'm coming back. And when I do, we're going to talk this over reasonable, sensible. And you're going to tell me why you're trying to do it. And it's going to be awful hard to convince me that you and me are quits.
Frank Garfield trying to get rid of Steve Conrad because of her feelings for John Benson? Just how much has this man meant to her in the past? How much influence may he have over her in the future? Garfield, a girl to whom life has been anything but kind, is destined to play a strange role in the lives of all those who have come to know her. She is destined to have a lasting influence on the lives of Mary Stubbin, of Steve Conrad, and David Drake, and on the life and the career of Dr. John Benson.